Monday of the seventh week of ordinary time. The first reading is Sirach chapter 1, verses 1 and following. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and with him it remains forever, and is before all time. The sand of the seashore, the drops of rain, the days of eternity, who can number these? Heaven's height, earth's breadth, the depth of the abyss, who can explore these? Before all things else, wisdom was created, and prudent understanding from eternity. The word of God on high is the fountain of wisdom, and her ways are everlasting. To whom has wisdom's root been revealed? Who knows her subtleties? To whom has the disciple of wisdom been revealed? And who has understood the multiplicity of her ways? There is but one wise and truly awe-inspiring sitting upon the throne. There is but one Most High, all-powerful Creator King, and truly awe-inspiring one, seated upon his throne, and he is the God of dominion. It is the Lord. He created her through the Holy Spirit, has seen her and taken note of her. He has poured her forth upon all his works, upon every living thing according to his bounty. He has lavished her upon his friends. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, first of all, the book of Sirach is inviting us to be awed, amazed at the wisdom of God, which is not the product of human endeavor, is not primarily a human accomplishment, but a gift of God. And so as we ponder the work of creation, the seashores, the drops of rain, everything speaks to us about the magnitude and the wisdom of the Creator. Then he tells us that the Word of God on high, that's the fountain of wisdom, God himself. And there's only one who is the source of all wisdom, and that is the one sitting at his throne, God. And yet, he has lavished it upon all creation, but in a special way, he has lavished her upon his friends. This is the wisdom of the saints. Why? Because opened to God, they can discover more and more the beauty of all things, the order of all things. So let us now go to the gospel, which is Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, John, and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son, possessed by a mute spirit. Whatever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." He said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, The spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell to the ground and began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If I can, everything is possible to one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do have faith. Help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, this event occurs right as the Lord is coming down from the mountain of the Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. So think about that. He's still coming down from the mountain, and probably like Moses, there's still some of the glow coming forth from him. And that's probably why everybody was utterly amazed upon seeing him. And what's going on down there? Well, just like when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, Jesus finds that the apostles are not capable of doing their ministry. Something has gone wrong. They cannot deliver this boy from the possession of the demons. At the same time, the scribes are questioning them, and so Jesus comes down and his heart is full of grief, because even at this point, nobody seems to understand who he is and why he truly came. There's still this darkness, this veils upon everybody's minds, including the disciples. They seem to be clueless still. Now notice that when Jesus was baptized, right after that, he went into confrontation with the devil. That was the temptations in the desert. Now Jesus is coming from the experience of the Transfiguration, where again the voice of the Father is heard, and immediately after he goes again into confrontations with the devil. Now, the disciples had success doing exorcisms before, and they most likely felt empowered. They felt, wow, we can do this. But the danger with that is you start relying on the techniques. You know, we are so important. God has delegated us. And if we do this techniques correct, then we're going to have a lot of success. In other words, self-reliance instead of relying on God. This is what prompts Jesus to say, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you?" Because my family, without God, we can do nothing. And we know that. But then in actual practice, in the circumstances that you're living right now, the problems in your family, the problems at work, how easy it is to rely on our own endeavors, our own human energy, instead of really trusting God and being patient and persevering. So Jesus says, bring him to me. Very important. We have to bring the situation, whatever it is, to the Lord. And what happens? Things get worse. The demons now go wild. The boy's rolling around, foaming at the mouth, and he's thrown into the floor, and he becomes rigid, and everybody is amazed at what's going on. And what is the devil doing? The devil is proud and obstinate, and he will not leave calmly and humbly, of course, because he's a demon. So he's putting his last show of force, even though he is already being vanquished. So learn the lesson. Sometimes when God is about to do the greatest miracle is when we apparently go through the greatest problems, the greatest trials. Look at Jesus and at the cross. Right then and there, salvation is being won, but it seems like the power of Satan is winning. And on the third day, the resurrection will take place. And so we need to persevere. Now, Jesus asks questions to the Father. Why? He wants to establish what is the nature of this situation. And the child had been possessed since he was a boy, so it's not a matter of malice in the part of the boy. It's something that probably happened because of a family situation, and the boy got possessed. But here comes Jesus to set him free. Now, a beautiful thing about this father is his faith. It's something that the disciples are still not capable of doing. He goes to Jesus and says, help me. Help, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And I think this is what I have to say too. And you. We have begun to believe. We have begun to see. But Lord, help us to grow in faith. Never be satisfied where you are. Keep on walking. Keep on the path. Keep on the journey, because God wants to give us a lot more. Our faith is only the beginner's faith. So help, Lord, my unbelief. And the beautiful also thing about the Father here in this story is that he identifies with his son so closely as to say, help us, not just help my son because he's got this kind of problems, but help us because he and his son are one. There's a sense of love that brings about this unity. This is something beautiful, and God is very pleased with this. For example, I remember when I was working in Respect Life, and we would have a baby shower for a baby who was saved from abortion. And the mother was there, and she was very grateful, and we will shower her with love and affection. Not really her, but we will shower the baby with love and affection and bring many gifts for the baby. But invariably, the mother would tell us, thank you very much for what you have done for us. She never said, thank you for loving my child. Thank you for what you have done for us. Because in her heart, what you did for the child, you did to her. This is love. And this is how this father in the story is. And this is how Jesus is. And this is how we are called to be. It's a great example. And so Jesus rebukes the evil spirit and and raises this child. But notice that at first, he looks like he's dead. That's what the bystanders say. You see, faith still lacking among these people. They don't believe that he's healed. As a matter of fact, he thinks that Jesus made things worse and now the boy has died. So, what was the problem with the disciples? They asked Jesus in private, why could not we do this? Well, the answer is because this kind of demon only comes out with prayer. So Jesus is implying they really did not pray. They went at it like they are the super apostles and we can do this and it's a matter of the right words and it doesn't work that way. And so we cannot lose sight that we need to depend completely on God and work things out in God's ways that may not be close to what we expected. So finally, as a way of a final reflection, what are the steps that we see happening here? Well, ask questions to ascertain the nature of the problem. Discern, what am I facing here? That's what Jesus did. Number two, invite the person to act in faith in Jesus, to seek out the Lord. Number three, bring the person to Jesus. That's what the disciples had to do. I'm going to now go with you. We're going to pray together to the Lord. Then, through prayer, and if possible, with fasting and with great trust, persevere with expectant faith, even in the face of seeming failure. It's not in our time. Just keep on trusting and believing God is in control. We have to do what we have to do and trust in God. May the Lord bless you.